Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated February 5th, 2016. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teagle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
Oh, I'm going real well, Lord Baldrith. Had one hell of a busy week this week, so I'm grumbling a lot because I didn't get much game time in, but it's just so nice to be the weekend. And how about yourself?
That's awesome. Yeah, me too. Working too many hours for my personal taste. Getting home to 2 hours of gameplay is not enough for me because there's way too much to do in this release. It's totally awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm adjusting the amount of time I've had with it. It is so much fun. And exploring new areas, new places, and just learning a few new skills. As I said, I'm trying to go with the bow and a bit of different magic this release. Already I'm seeing some promise. I'm still a bit pathetic, but I think I'm getting there, and it's huge fun.
That is awesome. I can't wait to see how a crafted bow works for you and see if you can. I've heard rumor that you can imbue those with a new gem, so I was curious how that was going to work out for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. And I've heard rumors, read the forums and stuff, and it appears this time if you attach a gem to a weapon or stuff like that, it'll increase your attunement in that particular school of magic. So, okay, it works a little bit differently. Your weapon may not do fire damage, but you are more attuned in the fire school. So you can do more fire damage. I'm not sure if that's 100% correct, but that's how it seemed to sound.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's pertinent to all weapons or just to the bows, the staves, and the wands.
Yeah, well, I guess people will tell us as they find out and as we get more experience in this. So, it's an interesting, different way of doing things, interesting concept. And I guess you just load up your armor or your weapons. Now, hang on, can you put a gem in armor? We haven't been able to so far.
I don't think so.
Just weapons, yeah. Load up your weapons, depending on which school or schools of magic that you favor. And, yeah, you will be much better.
That's right. And I don't know, I would be curious if you could put it in any weapon, but I don't know, you wouldn't think you'd put it in the melee weapons because it's kind of a magic thing. So, I don't know, but you never know.
Well, yeah, that's it. You do never know. Even a melee fighter, well, even when I was fighting melee, I was using a bit of magic, relying heavily on life magic to keep myself alive. So you could put the appropriate gem in your sword and say, look, I'm fighting with a sword, but when I want to heal myself, I'm going to be awesome and I'll heal for 100 points at a time.
You know, that's an awesome thought. A melee with an imbue of heal would be a very good idea. Or even death magic if you're going to go that way with your healing. So yeah, that'd be an awesome, awesome thought there.
Yes. Look, I'm sure people are trying it. And people are trying everything. They've apparently found one or two exploits so far in the game and had an enormous amount of fun with them.
Yeah, there are some almost billionaires in our game here from that exploit. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Well, the one thing I want to warn you about with the imbuing is you really, really have to have a lot of mandrake because the percentage of success is in the 20s, and I failed quite a few times.
Oh, great. And mandrake is not the easiest thing in the world to find, or you have to buy it. So, yeah, life wasn't meant to be easy, was it?
Well, you can also plant it and grow it yourself. That's what I've started doing.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, all right. I can see a greenhouse in my future.
The only thing I'm a little disturbed about is the price to plant and grow your own stuff is more expensive than buying it from the vendor. So I don't know how good an idea that is.
Oh, that's a little disappointing. Yeah. It would be nice if it were cheaper and therefore more attractive to do it yourself.
Yeah, I think One of the big problems is we're having to pay for buckets of water. Water kind of sort of should be free, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, it's a basic commodity.
And it seems to me you're drowning your plants. Like, you got water when you plant it, after you plant it, and 14 times during, right?
Whoa. Yeah, that sounds like a rice paddy.
It's a lot of water. That bucket's got to hold a lot because it sure weighs me down.
Oh, dear idea. We'll call you the water bearer.
The water boy.
Yes. Oh, but it's a fun experience learning all of this stuff and coping with all the changes. Gee.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun things to try. Just looking at the new recipe vendor, I saw all these great new recipes for cloth armor, so of course I had to have them all. And I'm going to experiment with seeing how they look on my character once I get them crafted. That's going to be fun.
Oh, that will be fascinating. It'll be great fun, Lord Baldrith. Brilliant. And when I get enough hides and stuff, I'll be starting to craft some leather armor. So, yeah, they might have different varieties of leather as well. That'll be really good to look at.
And they've changed all the quantities on the cloth, or the threads. I noticed they made it lower on one, but then I notice it doesn't give you as much. So it's kind of a wash.
Great. Oh, dear. Which is probably one of the main reasons they had to do a full wipe, because everything is so different.
That's right. And here we are, spending 250 gold a recipe again. Yay.
Oh, lovely. Fantastic. Dear, oh dear. Spending money that we don't actually have.
Yeah, they've definitely done a good job creating gold sinks in this game. There's so many of them.
Yeah, that's right. You really have to manage your pennies, especially early on in the game.
Oh yeah, when you're... It took me so many days just wasting all my money training skills that I've just now started to get to a point where I can spend it on other things. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yep, yeah, it is. But, hey, it wouldn't be an Ultima if it wasn't.
Oh no, Ultima is never meant to be easy. Always meant to challenge you and make yourself set many goals. So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so do I. It's great. Because it's a huge sense of satisfaction when you get there.
Oh, it is. Because if you did it, you know, by the skin of your teeth and the sweat of your brow and the blood in your system, yeah, it does feel like you've accomplished something and you can actually brag about it sometimes.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's feeling more and more like an Ultima game to me every time they add more of these features.
Yeah, me too. And I love a few things they said in the release postmortem, which we can get onto in a little while. So the game's just going to be fleshed out even more and more. It's wonderful.
Yep, they're going to squash all these bugs, and it's going to be epic. We're going to have a lot of people playing this game.
That's right. Okay, well, we have another news release. It's number 162. Getting up there, isn't it?
Yeah, we might get to 200.
I reckon we will. You know, it wouldn't surprise me, because they've said that they're just going to keep on working on the game and keep on building it and keep on growing it, even after it goes live, even after the last wipe. They'll probably be doing it for the next 5 years. So we might get to update number 400.
Yeah, by the time release 5 comes out, yeah.
Yeah. So we're in a job for life, mate.
Sounds that way, doesn't it?
Yes. Okay, but release 1's only 162. We got the Shores of Malice, an Artifice Entrance, R26 Postmortem, Greenhouses, new player-owned town templates, and more. Brilliant.
Wow.
Okay, and first we have the making of Shores of Malice. And once again, the awesome Esteban Zaldivar, Sorceress Steve, is at it again. And boy, doesn't he do a great job.
Oh yes, he's awesome. I love these designs he's coming up with.
Yeah, so again, it's Sorceress Steve. This is the Shores of Malice entrance to the Malice Dungeon, which is the final location in the Love Quest. It's located on the banks of Stormwater Lake. Okay, now where's that?
Well, it says it's the northern section of Drakkvold.
Yeah. Northern section of Drakkvold. There you go. Or I knew that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where that is either, though, so that didn't help me.
Bounded by the treacherous peaks of the Sirens. That'll be up in the northwest corner somewhere.
Oh, did he say Sirens?
Ooh. Yes, he did. That might be a mountain range.
Okay, not the creature, okay.
Or it might be some rather attractive-looking female creatures.
Yeah, that'd be really fun.
Yes. Yes, with their treacherous peaks. Okay, players on the Love Quest will arrive by boat from Spite. And that's a very nice-looking entrance.
Oh, I love that skull. Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't it? Wow, awesome.
Isn't that kind of like Ravensmoor? Does it have a skull entrance too?
It does. It absolutely does, yes. Yeah, and that is an awesome sight.
Yes, it is.
And the inspiration for the location was drawn from the Washington State coast. And hey, you can see, can't you?
Yeah, it looks very similar. Good job on covering that, yeah.
That's terrific. Nice. So using Gaia, our new water system, improvements in our lighting systems and our ever-present attention to detail all come together in an effort to create the most natural-looking organic scenery possible. Yes, well, I think they've done that in spades.
Yeah, it looks to me like there's some new kinds of trees in here, so this is a good update.
It absolutely is. And we've got ruins dotting the mountain range just up the trail from the entrance to Malice. Very nice. And that at the last picture, well, that would appear to be the entrance, I guess. Very nice. Oh, no, no. It says, many of you who have visited Ravensmoor may be familiar with an island not too far offshore. Yes, I remember it with pain.
Yes.
Where a troll lurks and countless players have bravely fought to their deaths. Well, many of you will be pleased to know that the shores of Malice will have another such island.
Ha ha. Uh-oh.
Aren't the devs kind to us?
They love to keep us in danger, yes.
Yes, where fellow avatars can come test their wit.
Wit? Oh boy.
Yeah. If you go there, it's half wit.
Yeah, half wit and half arms. Oh boy.
Yes. Oh, yes, there's going to be a seriously bad creature there, I predict.
Yeah, it might not be a troll, it might be something else, huh?
Yeah, yeah, could be a grounded dragon.
Oh, would that be mean?
Yeah, wouldn't it? Okay. So, well, as you said, that's it for now, folks. Be sure to check out the Shores of Malice coming soon. They are rolling this stuff out like crazy.
We love the new scenes. It's good.
We do. Okay. So, and to expand on what we mentioned last week, the entrance to Artifice Part 2. Very nice. So, last week, shared the opening comment and a teaser image from Scotty's Artifice Dev Plus Forum post. This week, we're sharing the rest of the post, along with a repeat of the opening comment from last week. So, yeah, just to summarise the opening part very briefly, as most travellers to Xenos know, there is a mysterious and legendary destination known as Artifice. There's a variety of tales, rumours that suggest that your dreams and wishes might come true if you're lucky enough to win the lottery, granting permission to enter. It grants the holder the power to pass beyond the glimmering golden door and to feast your eyes on what's close to any pilgrim's heart, whatever that might be. Yeah, well, maybe the hungry will be fed, maybe the lonely will be find love. Yeah, well, who knows? Surely only the most worthy can hope to share in the miracles. So there you go. So that's the teaser that he put out last week with his awesome entrance.
They really got us wondering what that is, don't they?
Oh, don't they what? That beautiful golden door and all the terraces, the columns. It looks really grand. That's great.
I can't imagine it's going to be empty like that, can you?
Oh, no, no, there's going to be something pretty interesting and pretty mighty in there. And there'll be a pretty good story behind it, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. So if you've travelled across the Elysian Plains, if you're lucky enough to win the lottery, you will discover a narrow cleft in the massive rocks that line the foothills of the northern Rumour Peaks. So through this craggy entrance, beyond a winding path, overshadowed by looming rocky walls, a lonely road leads uphill toward a strange source of light in the distance. Oh, nice.
That's neat.
It's very neat. The terrain here is reminiscent of other mountain paths, yeah, with dry scrub and grasses washing over boulder-strewn hills and dotted with tall, sparse conifers and smaller pines. Very nice. There's an arid, somewhat dry quality to the environment, and the trails leading up to what appear to be some kind of ruins are dusty and strewn with loose rocks and pebbles. The closest trail ascends in a series of small switchbacks toward what must be the entrance to Artifice itself. That sounds like the entrance to the Fortress of Hilt, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that went up in a series of switchbacks. That was awesome. Now, as one climbs this trail, the landscape to the right begins to fall steeply away into a small scrub-choked ravine at the base of a tall stone wall above, so don't fall off the side.
Mm.
Wow. Approaching the top of the trail, what appeared to be a wall has resolved itself into an ancient dam of sorts. Okay. Built long ago to contain a small yet idyllic pool that's formed at the base of a grand stone structure, rising higher onto the mountain's steep face. It's here, strangely, that some subtle art has changed the very nature of the place. Dry scrub and barren pines give way, as if by magic, to lush grasses, green ivy, and sculpted topiary junipers that appear to be carefully tended. Oh, very mysterious.
Oh, it is.
From the moment one approaches the path across the dam, flowers grace the edges of the trail, and potted plants dotted with colourful blossoms adorn the tops of columns rising on either side. So, a total change. Wow, seen from a bird's eye view, the opulence of this place shines through, despite the fact that some of its features have fallen into ruin. Now, I'm told that satyrs and fauns will eventually tend this place, speaking briefly to travellers that have come so far to sample its beauty. So again, we see the satyrs and fauns. I hope they're friendly.
That would be great, because they really do hurt.
Oh, yeah, don't they, what?
Especially the fauns. Those guys are terrible.
The nasty little fauns. I mean, they're so apologetic. And they say, I'm so sorry, I'm being forced to do this, but I'm going to root you and confuse you, so you're running backwards and sideways.
All the meantime, the satyrs are hitting you with a big axe, like dealing, 80, 90 damage. It hurts.
It does hurt, I know. Oh, dear. Those poor little fauns, you got to feel sorry for them, I guess.
I don't. I want to kill them. Ooh.
You mean man.
Well, they're making it so, A, I can't run, and B, I die. Not fair.
Okay, that is something to get upset about. I'll give you that.
Just a little bit.
Yes, okay. Alrighty, multiple tiers of decorative stonework rise higher and higher to a shimmering archway above, and sumptuous growths of plants, both deciduous and tropical, lace the terraces on all sides. There is a quiet, powerful decadence here that seems beyond even the presence of clear mountain water and the hands of its devoted keepers to possibly maintain. Okay, that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can go fishing there too. That's pretty cool.
That would be cool. Winfield's going to be there first.
Yeah, no, I'll bet that'll be his first hangout, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, but doesn't that look grand and absolutely magnificent? I think they've excelled themselves.
Oh, they've done an excellent job on this scene. It's awesome.
Yeah. And the waterfalls too, they're just sort of falling down and down and down in repeated drops. That's just lovely.
I love all the variety in the plant types too. It's just really nice. It looks great.
It is beautiful. Okay, as one climbs higher and higher, looking back across the small hidden valley, reveals a breathtaking view of the distant peaks to the west and the rolling plains to the south, stretching all the way to the River Fall and far Xenos, where the journey to this place began. Nice. A flock of birds that gladly nest in the high cliffs, so close to such verdant riches, wheel and swoop on the upper winds. Hey, don't you love the way they're incorporating the wildlife, birds, all the stuff that's happening from day to day?
Oh, I'm loving it. I think that makes the world all the more alive when you see birds flying, little butterflies buzzing around, and little those little light bugs, the bugs that light up. I like seeing that stuff. It's cool.
Oh, it's great. And you're out in the forest, and you hear all the forest noises, and it just sounds so real.
It does. And the rain and all the weather, it just makes you feel like you're actually there. It's great.
That's for sure. Okay, and though the panorama seems peaceful enough, the valley below, assuming one explored its perimeters, has many dangers in the form of wild beasts that now wander the lower hills, likewise lured in by the abundance found here. So yeah, there'll be a few nasties down there.
Yeah, I wonder, does that almost look like it could be a desert type of creature down there, maybe? Scorpion? A scorpion?
Oh, yes. Okay, we've had enough scorpions, thanks very much, devs, especially the ghost one.
Yeah, imagine if they have one worse than him. What other kind of scorpion can they give us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they'll think of something.
The only thing I like about the scorpions is they're pretty slow, so I can usually run around a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, true. True. If you can run fast enough, and this is what I'm counting on, because I'm going down the light armor tree, working up speed, and there's a glyph down the bottom called sprint, I think. So if I can run fast enough, I can keep away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got sprint worked up. I locked it finally, and I've got the what's that fast one?
Swiftness.
Yeah, there's swiftness, and there's one you click on that makes you faster for a short amount of time.
Right.
Cool. Dash. That's it. Dash.
Dash. Yeah. Good. Yep. Excellent.
Good spell. Very good spell. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Terrific. Okay, I'll get there.
Yeah.
Lovely. And once we're at the top, small stone footbridges lead across the swiftly rushing waters that feed the falls below. Here, a balcony hangs over the pool, where eventually will be found a satyr, whose task is to formally greet those who have come to enter the magical gateway leading to the inner halls of artifice. He'll explain that only those who have been blessed with winning entrance through the lottery will be allowed inside, while all others will be barred from entry by the powerful magic of the Golden Gateway itself. Of course, there's no rush, and visitors can feel free to wander the nearby overlooks. Okay, that begs a question.
Yeah, how do they figure out who is winning the lottery?
That's right. And more to the point, how do you win the lottery?
Do you buy a ticket, or is it just based on luck, or is it based on your character? What is it?
Yeah. Or is it based on talking to the right NPC who doesn't have an exclamation mark above his head and going on the right quest, or what? This is going to be fun to find out. And being a typical Ultima, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, you can see how many NPCs they've started putting in the game, so it's going to be a real challenge figuring out who to talk to for what.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And, again, they don't make it easy. Because I admit, hand on heart, I have to say, I admit I cheated. Somebody put a post, thank you so much, in the forum about where all the advanced trainers were. Because otherwise, you'd never find them.
I actually use that myself, because it's like, oh, I can't go any farther down my trees and I'm wasting time. I like to have all my spells trained.
Yeah, that's right. And I was looking for the advanced archery trainer. And my directional skill is so awesome that it still took me 10 minutes running around Soul Town.
Yeah, some of the trainers, they've filled in some of those buildings that used to be empty, so you really do have to look.
Yes. So I shudder to think what would happen if we had no clues whatever. We would take days or weeks to find these guys.
Yeah, definitely kudos to Morsha for putting that list together for us. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, yes. Brilliant, thank you. Alright, yet? Okay, here we go. The shimmering portal beckons, as do the promises of all the wonders supposedly contained inside. No amount of outer beauty, no abundance of mere flowers and crystalline falls could possibly compare to the treasures and rewards for those lucky enough to have won entrance into what certainly must be one of the most coveted destinations in the world. As anyone will tell you, everything's better in artifice. Okay, we're just all salivating here at this point.
I know, we want to go through that golden door and see what's in there.
We absolutely do. Oh, look, this is not fair to tease us like this. But it's going to be pretty amazing, I think. Whatever is in there, it's going to be awesome.
And when did they say we're going to get to explore this?
Yeah, I don't remember. Oh, I certainly hope it's the next release, because, yeah, it just looks fantastic.
We're very excited. We want to see in there. We want to see if there's little piles of gold or what's in there to do, you know?
Ah, for sure. Boy, lovely. Okay, well, for now, all we can do is look and salivate and hope for the time to go by quickly so it comes on board.
Yeah, we're always wishing for the next release, even though we haven't finished what's in the current release, you know?
I know. Hey, but I got my hat. I'm happy about that.
Oh, good job, good job. I got mine, too, and it was very challenging for me, at least in the one area.
Yes. Ooh-wee. Oh, it was. That was just so tough. But you get there in the end, and that is the very last hat.
It's actually quite sad, but at the same time, it's relieving, because we got them all. Yay!
Yay, that's right. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, yeah, I've got a complete collection. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them all, but they're fun.
They're sitting in my bank right now, but once I can display them, I will definitely get them out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need hat racks.
I'm hoping for hat racks, hooks, anything. Come on, bring it on. I'll take it.
That's right. Okay, next item. The Hangout of the Avatar release 26 post-mortem. Brilliant. And how did you go with that? Did you get to see much of that?
Actually, I did. I watched most of it, if not all of it. So, yeah, it was awesome, too, by the way.
Well done. I have watched a bit over half of it. As I mentioned, I had a hell of a busy week this week. So, no, not much time for game, which was annoying. And I had a whole lot of other stuff that had been banked up. So, I spent half the morning this morning listening to the forum while I was filling out tax forms.
Oh, yes, tax time, yay.
I get the joyous job of filling in quarterly returns, which is a bit tedious, but you know, it's just something you have to do.
Yeah, if you own a business or whatever, yeah, that's part of the deal.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Because I am a business, I employ myself. And every month I have to tell them how much I've paid myself, so how much tax I'm going to pay. And every 3 months I fill in a quarterly return, and it's just tedious. But it has to be done.
Yeah, I think the government enjoys making us work very hard for very little return, or actually having to pay. So yeah, it's not fun.
That's right. But more to the point and more fun stuff, I got to see at least half of the Hangout. And they got some really interesting and great stuff happening.
Yeah, I think it was very exciting to hear about the recall and the mark options that are coming. A little concerned about losing zone, though, so I'm curious how that's going to work exactly.
Yes. It may even be in the next release, as they say. Either that or the one after it. That lovely little command, the zone, that will not be there anymore. So that's pretty sad in one respect, but there will be ways around it.
I just need to know what are the ingredients, what is the skill set to make those little scrolls I need to zone around. So that's what I need to know.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, I'm sure they'll tell us. They will probably make it either expensive or difficult enough, or both, so you can't walk around with 100 of them. They'll be fairly valuable items to prevent any kind of abuse or manipulation.
Now you watch. They're gonna make them take a beetle carapace. You watch.
What, only one?
Yeah, no, I found four all the time, and you know, getting cotton, and that's been every bush I see.
Yeah. So yeah, there will be. I reckon there'll be some rare items needed. But yes, you can. Every player will be able to lock onto one location in the game. That could be your home. If you don't have a home, then it could be the town crier of the place you'd like to go back to. So, okay, that's some basic functionality. So you can lock yourself there and recall back there whenever you need to, if you have one of these Ubiquit scrolls. So that's achieved the essential purpose. And that's, as I understand, the bind and recall system, as they plan to put it out.
Now, did they say there's only one bind location you can create, or was there a way to create more than one?
As I said, I listened to it quickly while I was doing other stuff. I had the impression there was one.
Just curious. I heard eight, and then it's like, I didn't hear that, so maybe I missed it. So I was just hoping.
Okay, but to quote a famous person, don't lawyer me, bro.
Yeah, me neither, because, you know, we all loved Recall and Mark, not all of us, but a lot of us loved Recall and Mark in UO, and it, mostly for me, I used it for advertising my wares in my obscure places where my vendors were, and without that, I don't have any clue how my vendors are ever going to be seen in all these towns that are to visit.
That's a good point. Yeah, very good point. But, and also, Stuck is going to change, so if you decide you've had enough in a particular dungeon and you just want to go home or something like that, yeah, I don't want to, you know, fight my way back out the dungeon, and they're sort of saying, well, sorry guys, we're not going to make it that easy. We will have a navigational map, and there will be certain points that you can navigate to, so if you're stuck, we'll put you to the nearest navigable point. Not necessarily the entrance. Oh dear.
Yeah, remember they also talked about that eventually they're going to make it so that if you don't get out of the dungeon alive, everything you found thus far, you lose.
Yes, I remember that. And that is almost certainly coming in, or I don't know if it's already in, but it'll come in. So yeah, you're going to have to fight your way out. And I had to laugh when they were carrying on about this. And Lum said he could hear everybody crying and weeping and wailing and getting all upset. And Star said, the tears of the avatars just make him stronger.
Yes, I know. Hey, that was pretty ruthless, because I know we love our zone and our, you know, zone to friends and zone into our house. It's just something you kind of get used to.
Yes, it is. But evidently they've thought about it. And they know that there are functions, there are events and things in game, and people want to zone to them. So you will be able to zone to your friends, which is good. You'll probably need one of these super expensive or difficult scrolls, but you can zone to your friends. But then again, the friends is going to be different.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they put that thing on the alchemy table, because that seems to be where they're putting all the really hard-to-make stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because, you know, as they said now, the friends list, well, it's a bit more like a follow list. I mean, you can put anybody's name on the friends list, and you can have a list with 658 names on it, which probably Lord British does. But there will be a new variant of it. So it's sort of like Facebook or something. People have to acknowledge, and are you prepared to be my friend? And if they are, well then, okay, then you are friends.
Okay, so you can't just add people. They actually have to accept.
That's exactly right. And it's a two-way contract. And once people accept you as a friend, then okay, you have a friend. And you'll probably be able to zone to them with one of these super expensive and difficult scrolls that you had to make you had to pay the alchemist 1,000 gold for.
So they've kind of made it so that even though you figure, okay, good, I'll just have a bunch of friends and I can get around all these places I don't want to walk through, but it's going to be so hard to make the scroll, that's not going to really matter, right?
Well, yeah, right. They really want us to, A, have to walk places, and B, develop regional economies. So if it's too much trouble to go through all the control points, well, a regional economy is going to develop in this quadrant or in this corner of the land. And you will shop local for all your stuff.
Well, it's kind of like the Owl's Head blacksmith that buys your stuff for more than other places. So you'll probably find the same thing with other things you're trying to buy and sell.
You probably will. That's right. So, yeah, if you are living in the upper left-hand corner of the map, that's probably where you're going to spend most of your time. Unless you can summon up the experience or the know-how or the money to make one or two of these scrolls, and you decide it's worth making the walk to the other end of the land. Okay. But yeah, I reckon regional economies are probably going to take off.
Yeah, I'm definitely very curious what kind of ingredients there are, because I'm definitely going to be stocking up.
Yeah, that's right. Good on you. I shall come and knock on your door, sir.
Yeah, I'll have some on my vendor, too, if I can figure out an easier way to make them.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, it'll be lovely. Nice.
That'll be lucrative. You know that'll be lucrative. You know, make
it will absolutely be lucrative. As soon as people work out how to make these things, and they will be selling them at pretty good prices, I think.
Because everybody's going to need them. Whether or not they hate recall, they're going to need them, okay? That's just how it is. Recall is just so convenient.
Yes, it is, for sure. Yes. And again, they said, if you want to teleport out of a place, it'll be like zoning. You can't just get away from a battle or out of a bad situation by rushing away. It has a timer on it.
Also, I think if you're in combat, you can't zone too, right?
That's correct. That's right. Yes. So it's not a quick get out of jail free mechanism. If you feel that you're in a bad spot and you're overpowered and you think, help, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, it just isn't going to work.
Oh, gone it. They haven't given us that option yet. We need that one.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, you might just have to take your medicine and die and look for the ankh.
Yeah, no, the only thing I worry about is losing all the stuff. Like, what if you're in this great place to get ore and you mine hundreds of pieces of ore and you die? Then what?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay. Look, at a total guess, and again, don't lawyer me, if you can find the ankh and resurrect yourself and you're still in the area, you manage to get out of the area, okay, you could be all right.
You know, I'm curious. Are they going to make it so you got to go find your body? You got to kill the creature that killed you? What's the deal?
Yeah, good question. So far, as soon as you reach the ankh, you're resurrected at the ankh, and you have all your stuff with you. I hope they keep that. Because if the ankh is right next to the exit, then, hey, you've made it. You're home free.
I'm kind of leaning on thinking they're going to not make it that easy in the future, because a lot of people really want death to have meaning, and they love that whole thing where you got to find your body or do something to make things worthwhile to stay alive, you know?
Yes, they do, and look, we have to acknowledge that. There is some validity in that sort of input and that feeling. They might make it harder.
Yeah, I know. I'm the first person to say death is not fun for me. I don't enjoy dying. I scream and I yell when I die too much. And yeah, but at the same time, you're a lot more careful if you know there's going to be a real situation when you die.
Oh, yeah. Look, I had the experience a few days ago. I met up with somebody on the road, trying to guide them down towards a town. So, oh, we're heading for Arteris, so yeah, that's fine. Going through the Eastridge Pass, and I think she got a bit lost or caught up, so I was out the other side. And I'm like, where are you? So I went back inside to look for her. It seems that if you go back in and out of those passes, it wakes up all the bad dudes.
Oh, and you said, you got those hardened people?
Oh, yeah, and a lich. And so, okay, well, of course, it died very quickly. But just around the corner, there's an Ankh. So you rush to the Ankh. You are resurrected at the Ankh. And they're all there waiting for you.
Oh, they're waiting for you at the Ankh?
Yes. And that hurt.
That's not very cool.
It was very uncool. I died multiple times that day. I eventually managed to run away.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with resurrecting. You get totally turned around. It's, I don't know which direction they put you in, but it's like wherever you were going, you've lost it.
Yes. Yeah. I've worked out that whenever you enter an Ankh, they turn you around 180 degrees. So if you wanted to go back the way you were, just keep going.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I just thought, I thought you were going the way you were going.
Yeah. It seems that they turn you around. So, yeah, I just run for the Ankh. Woohoo, I'm awake. Good. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, run. Find that little exit. Because sometimes you got the exit all figured out, and it's like, oh, now I'm turned around. I end up going directly opposite of, you know, the exit, and then you're in worse trouble.
I know. And it's not that the devs are trying to confuse us or make lives difficult for us at all.
I have a feeling, and this is just my guess, that it's random and it varies every time you die as to where you're facing.
Okay. Oh, well, hey, it could be. You'll just have to die a few more times and do a research report on it.
Yeah, that's something I haven't done. I haven't actually researched it because death to me is usually an accident. I don't usually do it on purpose, and usually I'm all frazzled, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes it happens when you least expect it, like someone comes and gives you a 150 critical point hit. Oh, where did that come from?
Yeah, no, you're looking at your bars like, I got 3/4 health, now I'm dead. Now, what happened?
Yes, that's right. It's just not right, is it?
I hate archers. They do it to me all the time.
Yes. Oh, well, and they're talking. They are working. They are thinking. They're not committed. But they're thinking of allowing people, when the game is released live, to put their lots in player-owned towns early, as opposed to the staggered land rush.
That would be really awesome for those of us that have towns to set up and stuff. So, yeah, I like that idea.
Yes, well, it absolutely would. I think that I can see some merit in it, because the people who want to go to the player-owned towns, they're going to go there anyway. And that completely bypasses all the NPC towns and the player-run towns. That's taking the pressure off them completely. They're not competing at all with the general populace who want lots in Brittany or Owl's Head or Arteris or any of the other towns. They're just quietly nicking off to the countryside, to their own little towns. And yeah, I can see an argument for that, but we'll wait and see what develops.
Actually, when I think about that, that's actually an awesome idea, because it doesn't even affect anybody that's looking to place in an NPC town or the player run town, the PRTs. That doesn't affect those guys at all, because the POT is just, you know, excess, you know, really.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And they were saying that they will have enough lots in the game to cater for all the pledges, all the lots that have been bought on the add-on store, and 30% left over. And that is not counting the player-owned towns. So there's going to be a lot more than 30% left over.
That's right. So those that have multiple lots, and we're going to place multiple lots on our POTs, that's that many more lots available to the people that are going into NPC towns. So good stuff there.
That is very good stuff. So it's a bit of encouragement. I know Coeur d'Alene was getting a little bit agitated about it last week, and fair enough. But it's a bit of encouragement to people who are chasing lots in the bigger towns, like Brittany, like Owlshead, like Hatteras. Yeah, I think you've got a reasonable chance.
That's right, and I'm putting most all my lots in my POT, and I've got lots of lots, so there you go.
Yeah. There you go. All right. And we're going to have customized vendors, but that's not going to happen anytime soon because, hey, pressure of work. They're getting the important stuff rolled out first. Down the track, after August, maybe even in episode one, when it's commercially released, yeah, your vendor, you can not only name him, you can have different genders, you can dress them up differently, make them look different. That'll be nice. And they'll have more AI. They can remember who spoke to them. They'll have customized greetings. And it'll be a lot of fun. There's going to be so much depth in the game.
And hopefully they'll have a list of who bought what, where, and when. And you can kind of figure out what your good pricing is and stuff. That'd be great.
That would be really nice. It'd be cool if your NPC could say to somebody, your vendor could say to somebody, well, I don't actually like you very much. You didn't do a good job, or you cheated me. I'm not going to sell to you, or at double price for you.
That's true, yeah. You could make a list of the people that have kind of done something to you or whatever, and yeah, double or triple the prices on them or something. That'd be funny.
Yeah, wouldn't it? And all the nice people you sell at a discount to.
Oh, sure, yeah. You can give them a nice discount for your friends, 50%, 75% off or whatever. That'd be cool.
That's right, yeah. Oh, we could have fun with this.
I love selling stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. Just a little bit more work for Lum to do. I don't think he's got enough to do yet.
Yeah, I know. Poor Lum. He's writing how many stories and putting in how many NPCs? It's got to be a lot of work.
It seriously is. And again, he said, all the ordinary NPCs that are already in there, they're going to have a much wider range of responses, which will fit different people, different characters, situations, stuff like that. Well, that all has to be written, and it's hard work.
Yeah, I went to, I think it was Resolute, and there's another Fire Lotus Tavern in there, and I went to the bartender there and asked, hey, do you know the other bartender in the other Fire Lotus Tavern? He's like, I don't understand. It's like, oh, okay, you need to be worked on.
Yep. Yeah, look, give Lum enough time, and I'm sure that'll be all sorted.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. There's just so many things that people could ask. It's got to be real challenging.
Oh, that's for sure. And they were raising the prospect. I really don't know how they're going to do it, but what they'd love to do, you know that little girl in Solas Bridge, one of the starter quests, because she was left in Solas Bridge, and one of the refugees in Soul Town asks you to go and find her. So you go and find her, report back to the mum, and everybody's happy. Oh, yeah, you found her. That's great. I'll be coming to get her. Well, she stays there for the whole game. It'd be nice if, once you've done it, she wasn't there anymore. She was back with her mum.
That'd be good. Plus, wouldn't it be nice if she looked like a little girl, not just a small woman?
Yes, it absolutely would. But then you've got the mechanics. Well, to you, she has to be back with her mum. To everybody else who hasn't done the quest, she's still back in Solas Bridge. And if they don't make it a single player scene, how do they do that? Well, the answer is apparently extremely difficult. They'd love to do it. I don't know whether they will.
Yeah, I've seen games where the environment changes based on what you've done, and it's different for every player. So I'm wondering, I guess that would be single player scenes, wouldn't it?
I think it would have to be, yeah, that's right. Or there's some serious tech involved to selectively filter out what you see based on what your actions have been in the past. So, yeah, awesome. That's just another little bit of work for them to do. Not that they've got enough already.
Oh, I know. But I'm looking forward to features like that. That's the kind of stuff that makes people excited. So, yeah, hopefully they can find a way to do that.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Okay. But anyway, another awesome hangout. Was there anything else that you gleaned from it?
Really? I can't think of anything else off the top of my head that I learned, just besides, you know, the whole I think they've done a pretty good job in talking about the wipes and trying to calm people down a little bit about that. And you know, it's just, it's going to be ongoing after that. The game's not done. It's just, you know, we're getting it so we don't have to lose all our progress.
Yeah, that's right. And they've made it abundantly clear that, no, the game won't be finished, but it'll be stable to the point where your character can live in the world, it can advance. Whatever progress you made will continue. The recipes will be added to, they'll be augmented, there's going to be new ones, but they won't have to wipe everything to do radical changes. It'll all be backwards compatible. So it's just a matter of another book on the bookshelf. And that's going to keep happening.
Yes, it will. And also, I forgot, they also mentioned Words of Power. That was another thing I heard about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope they get that in, because that would be so Ultima-esque. That's just so neat to see Words of Power, and hopefully a little bit of voice work on our characters. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Excellent. Now, yeah, a little bit of voiceover work when the spells are cast. Yeah, that would be so nice to hear. It would be nice to see them come up in conjunction with the visual effect. Yeah, it'd be lovely.
Yeah, and I want to choose my character's voice, so I don't want him to have that little voice we've got now, because that does not sound like an old man to me, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, all right. Just ring Portalarium, volunteer to do a bit of voiceover work.
Well, I know how my character sounds. I could put that in.
Good on you. Yeah, you do a great job.
Thank you.
All righty, we have new greenhouses. They introduced the greenhouse effect, where if you grow a plant in a greenhouse, it speeds up the growth rate, and you found that already.
It does. It's awesome. It's like twice as fast. You don't have to water as many times. It's just nothing but beneficial. It's good stuff.
Beautiful. Okay, so currently the flexible placement stretch goal greenhouse is the only one in the game. And this one, it's expiring on February the 29th. So you better dive in and get what you want while they're still there.
So are they expiring our stretch goal greenhouse, so it's going to be kind of rare?
That's what I'm getting from that, yes.
Nice, I like that. That's good.
That's lovely. They're introducing two new ones, Rusted Iron Styles, and that will be available from in-game vendors.
Now, did they make any note that these new ones, are going to have the same effect?
Okay, look, the way I'm reading it, I think they would have. A greenhouse is a greenhouse is a greenhouse.
Okay, then making sure there's not going to be a better effect on the other one or anything like that going on.
Yeah. Okay, I'm assuming a little bit here, but I'm thinking that if you get a greenhouse, it should have the greenhouse effect. So whether you've got it from the Stretch Goal store or whether you've got it, the Rusted Iron one, large or small, from a game vendor, for however many thousand gold they want to charge for it, it should have the same effect.
Yeah, I love it. I want to put two on my lot there. They're just so good.
Great. There you go. And, you know, it's in keeping with their philosophy that they make a nice item which you can buy for actual money in the add-on store. But if you don't have or want to spend actual money, there are similar items that you can buy in the game.
That's very handy, because, you know, you could actually save a lot of money by having your character do the work.
Yeah, you could. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm still struggling to find ways to make money, because, you know, you knock out of skeletons, you get 10 or 15 or maybe 20 gold at a time, plus a sword you can sell, plus some ectoplasmic residue, yeah. It's not the fastest road to wealth, but I'm getting there.
It's not. You know, I have 2,000 of those corpse dust things. You get so many of those now.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was going to I had a great idea. I was going to make a whole bunch of healing potions and sell them. But, you know, I don't think you make any profit on those healing potions. They're expensive to make.
Oh, that sucks, doesn't it?
I know. They've yet to put something in we can sell.
Yeah, that's bad news. Oh, dear. But we toil away, and we eke out a small grinding existence. But hey.
Yep, I'll never be rich.
No. Yeah, I haven't been rich in any of the releases so far.
Well, not since the gem one. That's the last time I had any amounts of money.
Oh, that was good. Yes. Yeah, they really need to do something like that accidentally.
Yeah, I would greatly appreciate that. Just to be able to buy a few things would be nice.
Yes, yes. Well, hey, speaking of that, honey, we were talking earlier, before we went on here, about the exploit that somebody found. And I think it was a member of the BMC. I'm not quite sure what they did, but evidently they found by turning the same book in endless numbers of times, you just keep on raking up money. And they got 50 million gold.
That's nutsola, isn't it? Having 50 million gold. Can't even imagine what that looked like on your, you know, on your little screen there.
Yeah, I know. And they reported it to the devs, and Chris said, oh, okay, right, well, thanks, yes. Okay, they could have wiped it all. They could have reset the servers. But they said, okay, well, thanks. We will fix that exploit so that people can't do it again. But it'd just be nice to see what that sort of money does in the community. So please just give it away. And that's what they're doing.
So they're just giving it away and first come, first serve type of thing?
Yeah, there's a post in the forum. I'm not sure where or when, but they have put up a post in the forum. And basically, they're giving away 50 million gold.
Oh, well, it sounds like an easy way to get a little bit of spending money, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So, look, if I can possibly do it, I might rock up and ask for some.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because Chris just wants to see what effect that has on the economy. If you hit it with a huge amount like that all at once.
You know, I can imagine 50 million gold. It wouldn't last very long. There's just so much expensive stuff to buy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, everyone's going to rush out and buy a few expensive things, and then it'll be back to square one.
Yeah, the gold sink will have sunk everything.
Yes, that's right. Moving along, we have player-owned town templates. So they've received requests to provide variations on existing templates that replace the large paved areas with natural terrain. So they worked on it. And there you go. You can expect to see them soon. So that's nice. So if you've got the forest template there with the big cobblestoned area in the front, that's what we've seen so far. You can have it without the cobblestones. And all you got is natural, lush, natural forest.
Okay, that's cool.
Which is very nice, and you can clear any or all of that as you want to put your houses.
Oh, so technically it's still a flat area. Nice, I like it.
Yes, nice. Yes, still a flat area, but you're not restricted to having the cobblestone look. You have a forest type look, which is lovely.
I hope they didn't forget about ours, because I'd like to replace that cobblestone myself.
I am sure that if they haven't done it already, they will get around to it. And again, they have a swamp template there with and without cobblestones. So, yeah, lovely. They will work through them all. So that's great.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see what they do with the snow.
Yeah, that will be wonderful. Good on them. They are working hard.
I'm impressed because this is all a lot of excess time on this stuff. So good for them, you know?
Yeah, that's tremendous. Okay, in-game community events. Another great lineup of events. Brilliant. Okay, running through them. We have the recurring events, the Role Players of the Avatar, monthly $170 writing contest, and the January or Janus creation contest features cataclysm or survival themes. Anybody who wants to write or contribute in any way, please go there. It's awesome. The Unreliable Travel Guide, a wonderful collection of short stories. They just keep on putting out some beautiful stuff. It's so funny. Love it. Avatars Radio, the awesome collection of DJs entertaining us all and bringing us everything that's happening in the land. We have an NBNN lunch with Jack and Laz, weekdays at 12 p.m. every day, covering the daily goings-on and calendar updates issues. We have a daily wartime PvP event, daily at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's at Chaos Crossroads. No rules at all, so use whatever you want. The EVL Hatmaster Weekly Grand Tour Quest on Mondays at 7 p.m. So if you haven't got the hat and you're having trouble getting it, team up there. You could zone to Knick Knack until they take the zone away.
Yep.
But that's a great initiative. The Tavern Respite role-playing event, Mondays at 8 p.m, is at the Bear Tavern. Very nice. The Order of Vengeance Guild meeting is on Mondays at 9 p.m. There's a challenge dungeon run Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And that's a tough run, that one. The Paxlia Town Manager Hour, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. The Novian Academy New Citizen Outreach, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. The EVL Dungeon Crawl, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. They hold a dungeon crawl every Tuesday, meeting at Owl's Head. Wednesday nights, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. It's an impromptu event, but they do whatever seems appropriate. It's at Care Drakwich, or you could zone to Bowen Bloodgood. And the EVL Pipsqueak PvP Tournament, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you want to do some PvP, but you're pretty awful at it, like me, they'll put you in the newer division. And you might actually have a chance, so that's a really good idea. That's at the Underworld. You could zone to Jarlaxle or Jade. Very nice. And Striker Sparhawks Happy Hour Wednesdays. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Phoenix Republic PvE nights. Thursdays and Fridays, 7 p.m. Going into the control points, dungeons and dangerous places. Yay to help training. Thursday night throwdown. That's a PvP event. That is at the Obsidian Caverns. Lovely, another PvP event. The Novian Academy roleplay courses, Friday at 4 p.m. Roleplay classes and practice sessions. Excellent. Shardfall Madness, another PvP event, Fridays at 6 p.m. Vengeance Madness, Fridays at 7 p.m. Open PvP. Everyone fights it out in a Royal Rumble to see who the ultimate death dealer is. And that's in the City of Vengeance. EVL Capture the Flag, Fridays at 7. And that's another PvP event. Fighting for control over 3 bases. That's at the Underworld. And an astronomy event on Fridays at 7:30. That's also at Caer Drakwich, or you could zone to Bowen Bloodgood. Wow, now that's a good collection of things to do.
It is, and that's just a recurring event, isn't it?
That's right. That's happening all of the time. Okay, weekend stuff. Saturday, 6 a.m. Wake up New Britannia with Waftem and Celine. Really hot DJs. 9 a.m. CST, Paxlia Working Hours. 11 o'clock, Church of the Dark Star Saturday service with Amber Rain and Kazan Phoenix Fire. 12 o'clock, the Baron Lee Construction, Harvest and Craft. A weekly craft and harvest event supporting all towns, guilds and player-run establishments within the Baron League. There you go. 6 p.m, Port Phoenix Social Nights. Get together for everything from fishing to music to gust ball to PvP dungeoneering and adventuring. And at 8 p.m, there's a 1v1 tournament at Vengeance. Lovely. Sunday, 5:30 a.m, Exploring Novia with Royal Sexy. 8:30 a.m, there's a Paxlia meeting. 2:30 p.m, Gust Ball training. If you need a bit of training in the gentle art of Gust Ball, followed by a match at 3 p.m. 5 p.m, a Gridiron Feast and Registration. 5:30 p.m, BMC Gladiators Gridiron. That's at the nastiest, foulest, and most feared arena in all of New Britannia. Whew. It's equipped with a pit-style arena, locker rooms, a VIP roundtable, betting and vendor booths, and all the blood sport you can handle. That's at Blackrock Cove on Nervia near Exeter Crag Mines. Lovely. 7 p.m. there's a Pax Lair meeting. 8 p.m. fishing with Winfield. Awesomeness.
Very cool.
Ah, lovely. This week in the news, news release, the state of Shroud of the Avatar, a backer's perspective. Now that'll be interesting to read. Awesome.
For sure.
Okay, upcoming events. Hey, this has ballooned out a little bit. We're all the way up to release 32.
Wow.
So, yes. So, in February, there's a Dania Games Open Development Day. Also in February, there's a lecture series at the Luleå University of Technology. And a Norrbotten Media Week. And don't forget, on the 22nd of February, this is advance notice, we do want everybody to attend this. It's in-game. It's going to be big. It's going to be awesome. It will blow your mind. This is the Shooter Jennings album release party. We covered it in detail in the news last week, but we'll keep on reminding you, it's going to be big. So put the time aside and be there. Release 27 in February, GDC 2016, SSXW Gaming. Release 28 in March, then we got PAX East. Release 29 in April, release 30 in May. Release 31 in June, release 32 in July. And then we go live.
Yeah, that's the big day, 7/28, isn't it?
Yep, that absolutely is. That's going to be amazing. It'll be such a good feeling.
Yeah, I'll bet you the traffic in the game will be higher than it's ever been on those after that time.
Oh, yeah. We'll be in login queue number 258.
Yeah, can you imagine having to wait an hour to get into the game? That will really...
Oof. Oh, dear. I think between now and then, they'll upgrade their login servers and they'll put in a whole extra bunch of servers or pieces of kit or whatever they have to handle the hordes that are come knocking on the front door.
Yeah, a lot of... I'd venture over 50% of the backers have been waiting for that. So, yeah, we might see a big influx.
Yeah. I would say more than 50%. I think a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines just waiting for a more finished game, which is, that's fine, that's their preference, that's their right. Well, we can tell them we have got a more or less finished game.
Well, finished enough to where everything you get to keep now. That's pretty finished. That's good.
That's right, yes. And it'll keep growing and keep developing. But as I read somewhere, when Ultima Online launched, it actually bore no resemblance to what it ended up as. It kept on growing and developing, and things got added along the way.
That's the case with a lot of games. They start out, you know, just getting it going, and then they just keep on improving it. You know, that's just how games evolve.
It is. It is. Especially the MMOs, especially the online games. And the developers are just working quietly away in the background, thinking, oh, it'd be cool to add in another module, add in something else. And next time you log on, you have to download a patch. Okay, that's fine. Cool.
In some games, that was what you looked forward to. Oh, a new patch. That means there's more to do. So it was always exciting.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Okay, recommended projects to back. Well, it's the Bard's Tale 4 again. Yes. They're returning to Skara Brae for the long-awaited dungeon-crawling sequel to the Bard's Tale trilogy. It's a single-player, party-based CRPG with dynamic phase-based combat, challenging puzzles and riddles, and a game set to beautiful Gaelic music, where the bards' songs and melodies affect gameplay. So, that is the news of the week.
Awesome stuff.
Brilliant. It's always a lot. It's always fun talking about this stuff.
It is. There's just so many things to talk about lately. It's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really great. And, well, I'm, for one, am looking forward to getting a little bit more time and diving back into it.
Yeah, you can get caught back up to your level 60 area again, right?
Oh, I wish. I wish. I have dreams. But look, the experience multiplier is going to keep going until I get there. So I think I've got a chance.
Well, just an FYI, I got to level 56 just in the last week, so it does go pretty fast.
Oh, wow. I bow down and worship at your feet. That is awesome.
I'm pretty casual, too, so, you know, if I can do it, most people could probably do it in a quarter of the time.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, I'm a pretty casual player, too, as you know. I mean, I might get an hour or two a day if I'm lucky. Maybe a little bit more on weekends. But, yeah, I'll go sometimes days when I don't get to play at all, especially when the power supply on the computer decides to get fried as it did this week.
That definitely is a snag, isn't it? Oh, boy.
Yes, it is. Luckily, they fixed it pretty quickly for me, so I was back in the swing again.
I'm glad about that. That's just a disaster. You know, I would have been pulling my hair out if something like that happened to my computer. I can't stand that.
Oh, yeah. It's always a bad feeling when you're in the middle of killing zombies and skeletons and stuff, and there's a bit of a crack and everything goes dark and quiet and nothing's happening at all.
That is a bad feeling and a bad sign.
Oh yes. And you look around you at the desk and everything else is still working, so you know it's not a power failure, and you think something evil has happened in the box. But hey, luckily it was easy fixed, so that's good.
That's great. I'm glad it wasn't anything totally catastrophic to where you'd have to buy a new computer or something.
Oh, yeah. That would not have been fun.
Yeah, I get tired of buying new computers. I'll probably buy one every 2 or 3 years. It gets pretty expensive.
Oh, it does that. Absolutely, it does. But they seem to suck us in, and they are the vehicle for a lot of enjoyment.
Heck yeah, this is our entertainment, so it's very important.
Yes, yeah, not quite more important than food or drink, but almost.
It's very close, it's just one step below, I'd say.
Yes, that's right. Okay, well, there we are. So, back to it for another week. Enjoy it, everybody. Try not to die too many times. And hope to catch up with you in-game.
For sure, yeah, it's definitely a fun release, and I'm excited to get back in the game myself and do a little bit of testing and playing and just all out having fun.
Beautiful.
So I guess we can go. We've got a pretty good show time today, so not the 2 hours we had last week, so hopefully it's not too long for y'all. The awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teakle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on Avatars Radio. AvatarsRadio.com. Also, thanks to the DJs at Avatars Radio. For a full schedule of DJs, go to avatarsradio.info/schedule.php. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.